Blog Talk Good evening. Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to another week of the Human Experience. We thank all of you for joining us on such a beautiful day here in Houston. I'd like to say to our guests, Brother Lawrence and Dr. Akeem, how are you guys doing? Hello? Hello?
Hello,
can you hear me? Yes.
Yes, brother. Can you hear me?
Brother, can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you now, Dr. Akeem.
This is Lawrence. How are you, brother?
Yes. Hey, I'm doing great, Lawrence. How's everything going today?
It's a blessed day. How's the elder?
Oh, he's doing excellent. He's doing excellent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you joining us this day? Is he joining us?
I think so. He's on the line. I don't know if he's able to hear or not.
Okay.
But yes, we are
okay.
Moving right along. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Hello. Okay. Yes, and
I'm here.
Hold on for a second. Okay. Dr. Akeem, are you there? Maybe it's something wrong. Can you hear us, Dr. Akeem? Okay. Well, moving right along. You know, last week we finished up with some interesting topics. You know, that was one that really took some things home when we were talking about the family structure and things that we can do and what is going on in our families. Even now we can move to another level in how all of the disruption, you know, affects children. And we have shown this before, maybe last year, dealing with these same issues, but in a different way. Brother Lawrence, what do you see as some possible solutions to our family crisis?
We have a very long struggle ahead of us, that's for sure. We all just have to work, you know, together. There's an old tale that says that if you want to go fast, you go by yourself. But if you want to go, you know, strong and far, you go as a group. So we have to figure out a plan so that we can bring all of ourselves along, all of our family, you know, as much as we can, to go along with us. And it's going to be a hardy thing. We talked about the church last time and the important role the church had played in the past. And the elder had laid out for us that we certainly went very far with them, and we have to be appreciative of that. And I think he was also started relieved to say, yes, the church has done great work in the past, but to go forward, certainly come up with a path and the church has to do something or it has to get out of the way. That was much more my urging. But I thought that was speaking in one voice.
Hey, shalom. Yeah. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yes. That's a whole lot better.
Yeah.
I don't know what the problem was. Brother Lawrence, I'm sorry. I missed your comments. I'm not going to ask you to repeat it, but I was attempting to get in. I could hear you all, but you couldn't hear me. But I'm here now.
Yes, Elder.
Hey.
Yes. Welcome. I was just sharing I was picking up on what we were talking about last time we met, that we were talking about the history of the church and the church taking us a very long way to where we are right now, and how the church itself, I think I was putting forward that the church itself in this time, it's failing us miserable and become more self-centered and just purposeful for the existence of the church. And if we had to go further to rescue the family and the community, then we have to come up with another tool, or the church itself has to be reinvented for the time that it's living in. What do you think, Elder?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct, but I do think that there are a number of things that are going to assist us. First of all, I think that people should back off the black church and start showing more respect for it. It's past, it's stellar in reference to the institutions that we have that are still in existence from the time that we were taken and enslaved in these lands. The other one is this, that the statement that you made, I think, encapsulates it very well, that the church, like all of our institutions, is faced with reinventing itself. And what that really means to me is that the church is going to have to look at its history and see the circumstances that allowed it to be in the leadership of the communities and the whole nation, and even give leadership to the White House and give leadership to great leaders and be the anchor of great leaders. All of our great leaders, no matter who they are, relied heavily upon the organized religions and institutions. And so they're going to have to look at how that was done and stop being so defensive. They're going to have to get on the offensive. They're going to have to go out to the meetings where the games are, because these young brothers and sisters, they're yearning for attention from the elders. They're yearning for attention from the church. They're yearning for attention from people who have, quote-unquote, made it in society. And all of these attention-getting mechanisms that they use are often leading to self-destruction and injury to us. The last point on this is that the younger ministers are going to have to get out of the party and hip-hop mode and start getting serious about spirituality. Many of our young ministers and many of the dedicated young men and women have jumped over the church, jumped out and started these coaching institutions. They started counseling. They started doing all kinds of what they call some enlightenment teachings. But they forgot that the basis of enlightenment is spirituality, and the basis of spirituality is our relationship with one another. You don't have no spirituality in relationship with God. Your relationship with God ain't spiritual. Your relationship with God is oneness. People give us these words, and then they start confusing us with spirituality is the relationship of people with one another. Otherwise, you don't express your spirituality in any other way. Praying and singing and all of that is not spirituality. That's praise. Spirituality is what we do with one another. Ashe.
Well, Ashe. And let me also say, I was listening to some Bob Marley song. He was, and I remember also what some young people in Ferguson was also saying. Bob Marley was saying something to the effect that how, you know, you teach us about Christopher Columbus, you teach us about Morgan and all these criminal elements that has formed this perfect union, and the young man was saying, you know, why would I want to be a police when the police is the one that is an enemy to me and my people? So why would I want to be a police? Why would I want to be, you know, have anything to do with that? Why would we, you know, they keep trying to recruit black police officers. No young man in their right mind would want to be a police officer the way that the police has treated us. So with that in mind, that, you know, these institutions has to kind of re-educate us about the right vibration, the health of our community. And then by then we may want to actively put, the young people will start to be activated again in being at one with the elder. Because if success is being getting a good job and just work until you drop, then that's not enough for them. If success is being in an office on the 88th floor, and just accumulating wealth, how much is enough? And until we start to reorientate ourselves back to that, there is that community essence in which you're speaking about, that you know, when we commune with each other, then God reside. Give thanks.
Absolutely. They did have someone sent a, it's not a question, it's just an agreement, and it says that earlier the person speaking, I must agree totally with his statements, and that we must understand in the church world, their ears are closed because they really believe that they are being fed with the message from those ministers. And I suggest that we go into the colleges and set up certain things. And in most colleges, you can set up a meeting place or talk to young students in college pertaining to they have certain religious classes that they take that they form on their own. So this might be another area where we can go, because they're going to be the ones in our community and affecting our community.
Okay, Brother Yanni, if a person is in college right now and they are not working in the community wherever their college is, then we don't need to go to no college for them. What we need to do is we need to start at the 7th and 8th grade. We need to provide an opportunity for the junior ministers of these churches, the youth ministers of these churches, to meet with some of the youth groups in our community. Youth groups, you can call them the Crips, you can call them the Bloods, you can call them the Boys Club, you can call them the Girls Club, you can call them, you know, fraternity, sorority. These are the ones that are going to have to come together and decide that enough is enough. The whole point is that there is no one, and we've gone over this before in this show, that is going to emerge nationally or internationally that's going to pull us all together. We're going to have to pull ourselves together by going in and see our small little groups in Houston, our small, many small groups in New York or Philadelphia, San Francisco, the Virgin Islands, pulling themselves together and seeing how we fit with Philadelphia from the St. Croix, Houston from New York, seeing how they fit together and start talking. Because if we go back and we look at the recent history of our people when we were up against a brick wall, so to speak, the Black Panther Party was giving breakfast for children out in schools and in the basements of churches there in West Oakland, California. You know, the Committee for Unified New York was working in Newark, New Jersey, in the churches. Right there, Kyle Eater with Ron Carina in Los Angeles was working in the churches and working in the schools. Right in Houston, Texas, the Freedom School, right in the Third Ward, was working with the school. They're still there. And the churches, we've got to go back to the churches and say, we need the auditorium, we need the basement, and we don't need it 3 or 4 hours a week. We need it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and mean it. These youth ministers and these youth in those churches want us to come in and help them break through to this glass ceiling or whatever kind of ceiling it is in the church, that where they are told what to say and what they can't say. They need to be get our help. And the last week we had a sister who called in and say, how do we organize the churches? We go to the churches and ask the churches to help us stop the bleeding and stop the killing in our communities and through education. And those buildings belong to us. They may be in the minister's name. He may have the deed to your church and say you're paying him rent. But those churches belong to that denomination, that religion, those spiritual people there, and they should demand 24-hour access to them. That's how we're going to stop this. And invite people who speak the way you want to speak. If you don't speak well, invite somebody who says what you want to say. I don't care if they are poor or rich. Invite them so that they can talk and then stay there and everybody brainstorm and this whole peace and reconciliation thing will start to make sense to us, bringing people together, apologizing to one another, and making a pact that we're going to stop this nonsense. This is where we start, because it's the only place that we have to start right now.
Let me say that with all what you're saying, Elder, brings my mind to the place that everything has a purpose. The Crips and the Bloods and whatever gang, and as you said, whatever ceiling that is set up for us, have a purpose. And until we figure out that what that purpose is, again, what are we living for? Do we want, you know, those brothers in the Crips, for example, or the Bloods, they came together for a particular purpose. And they might, for whatever links they got them to it, whether it be criminality or whether it be for good or for safety or for security, and then their couple blocks that they're on that they're protecting or to find safety wherever they are, they come together for that collective purposes, and they do whatever they have to do. And so we have to recognize that they got there somewhere. There was somebody's baby. There was a mother's baby, and there was a father's child. And they become this thing. So, and we have to figure out to rescue them for what purpose, you know, because they're not going to come along without a clear chance. I'm not going to be able to tell the brother who's selling drugs on the corner when it was illegal to stop, because unless I give him another purpose, make his life become more purposeful, and to be able to that just accumulating the money for the sake of having the money and the risk that he has to take to accumulate that wealth, that it didn't make sense for him. I have to give him another purposeful life. And it might be a simple life. It might be that he wants to live in a hut and to be able to be safe, you know, and be able to have access to the food tree in the back or the animal that he eats. But we have to think about the bigger picture. Give thanks.
Give thanks. Well, that's one thing for sure, that anytime you speak to one of these young boys or one of these young girls that's in these clubs called, that people call gangs, the one thing that they will tell you, that boy that you will refer to out on the streets selling drugs, they will tell you, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this. But I don't know how to get out, or there's no alternative for me. If we want to understand what the youth are thinking, listen to their music. All you got to do is just watch. Listen to their music. All you got to do is just watch. Then you'll know what they're thinking. They're thinking about living. They're thinking about enjoying themselves. They're thinking about feeling. And we need to recognize them as our children, as Brother Lawrence has said. These are our daughters and sons. We have to go to them and have these peace and reconciliation talks at these churches, at these schools. If four people show up, so you got four people. Maybe if you keep it up for a month, you'll have 30 people. Maybe if you keep it up for 6 months, you'll have 100 people. But we got to start somewhere. And what our youth want, listen to their music. Go on Instagram. Go on Facebook. You know, forget about the overly sexual posts and all of that. Look at what they post, and look at what they say when they stop doing all of that foolishness. These are our children. We need to go to the ministers and say, you preach from the Greek New Testament that it says, come as you are, that God don't make no difference between people. So why is it that only people can come to your church at certain hours and dress in a certain way? Is this what God wants? Is this what Jesus wants? And we need to question our sincerity as far as being saviors and leaders and healers in our community if we are only going to serve a certain class. And I'm not saying one person can serve every class, but you have to serve the people that come to you. If not, return to me. Okay, I'll serve. Ashe.
Indeed. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, that's and that's right on point.
Yes, we have to figure out radically accept people where we find them, and accept them as who they are, and then figure out helping them to realize their dream and their vision. and to become non-judgmental in limiting one of their come, that they were former this and they were this and this is what they have done, and what the society has given branded them as, and limit them as, and prescribe that this is their role in this play called life. If we got to build a society that we need, which is to be proper vibration with the universe and with the planet, then we have to turn our backs on all of that, and all of those limitations have been placed on us, so that we can become be at one with our God.
Absolutely, and if we don't have to go to Africa to build schools on the continent of Africa. Let's build the schools here and teach our children to go from here to live in Africa and build nations. Let's be assured that we're building schools in Africa to teach the students how to be good Europeans. Why don't we teach them here how to go to Africa and help the people build schools that will honor our ancestors and bring back the great civilizations on the continent of Africa? Nobody can stop us there. But they can make it awfully hard for us to build and survive here, even if we are very, very talented and successful, like such as Wesley Snipes or someone who speaks out for peace and justice and for sovereignty. They can make your life miserable. But on the continent of Africa, where we belong in unity and in togetherness with our brothers and sisters. But we've got to start here, because the talent is here, the know-how is here, the brain power is here, the resources are here. The churches must open, the schools must stay open longer than 5 or 6 hours a day. We've got to use the resources in our community that we did, like we did in the 60s and the 50s and the 40s, work together, and our people knew that if everything fails, they can always have a meeting there. I say.
And in order to build those bridges between here and so-called there, we have to be able to, I actually appreciate what you just said, because I actually just saw, let's call it a movie, of some brothers from the Sudan who was, you know, the Arab and the governmental forces destroyed their basic village life, and they were forced to become the lost boys coming to America, going to some of the oldest place in the country, and not knowing anything about it, but they were so driven
by
their thirst to learn about what, to get the tools that they need so they could go back to help their people. And one of the sad things about that movie is that we helped in these official plays, but none of us was able to help as a particularly African black people to be able to help with a consciousness that to be able to integrate them, like to be able to house them. You know, the Catholic Church bring them here, but we could receive them, and in that receiving them, integrate them into the community, and because they definitely have their own drive, and help them, you know, learn the tools that they need so they could go back, not to mimic America, but to build the tools that they need for their own collective survival, so they can figure out what Africa needs and what we all need.
Yeah, thanks. We had a recent example about how we can get together and help one another and help educate our children with all of the athletes and the movie stars going out and buying 20 and 30 and 40,000 tickets to go see Selma. And telling the youth in the schools, go to the theater and watch Selma. You don't have to carry anything but your ID card. Those are examples of that. If we can get excited about getting our youth involved, Selma was just one incident. There was no follow-up on Selma. There are many movies. Let them look at To Kill a Mockingbird. Let them look at the DVD that Brother Lawrence was just explaining. Let's look at many DVDs that indicate that our youth will respond to love. They will respond to peace. They will respond to us saying, you're okay as you are, and we don't want you to hurt anymore. We understand your pain. We don't want to be a part of causing you any more pain. We love you. Come home, man.
Right.
Ask our children to come home. And if they don't have a home to come to, they can come to my house.
Wow.
You know, because we don't, you know, like, you know that, are you familiar with that movie, The Boys of Baraka, where these youth went to Kenya to this school, and I mean, their eyes was open, but there was no money to keep them going back so they could finish their education in Kenya. We've got to understand, if we reach out to our children, they may be wary of us. They may not want to embrace us at first, but we've got to keep doing it and keep doing it because we have to stop the bleeding. We have to stop the hatred and violence between ourselves and build this unity and see the part as a part of the whole, the part as a part of the whole. If one part of the whole is sick, then the whole body is going to get sick unless we hear that part. Our women, our children, our families, our churches, our schools, all the body has gotten sick because we stopped attending to the family. We stopped looking at the family, and the church has left its first estate, and that is the family, to minister unto the family, I say.
Wow.
And that's so on point when you look at all what's happening across America. And they just had a statement, and the statement reads, "I can agree because if you just take a look, I feel that we can blame the majority on our churches who've lost their focus, and it has become about money rather than families. And all over, children look at these ministers who, by the way, lose a lot of credit in our neighborhoods because all the children see, especially the ones that we need to reach, is they have turned it into a game, a business, a hustle. And these kids are not trying to hear anything that these guys are bringing."
Right.
Okay, well, we forgot one thing. Ministers, junior ministers, youth ministers, choir leaders, and all of these are people. They need to get it that they're not an exception to the temptations of life. They need to clean their act up. It's what the writer was saying. Clean your act up or move out of the way and let somebody that come in there that is morally, you know, unapproachable, that stands for what they walk their talk. We need morally sound people in these positions of authority and decision-making in our community. If you're not one, I say we love you, but we'll see you later. They're people. People have flaws. Let's embrace them. Let's tell them that we will help them get clean. We will help them stick to salvation. But they've got to want to change and reinvent this church.
Let us also address the issue of shame, that some of us have gotten so organized by this issue called shame that I'm ashamed because I've, you know, I'm a drug user. I'm ashamed because I've been a prostitute. I'm ashamed because I didn't have the proper education. I'm ashamed because I don't have the proper health. I'm ashamed because I'm not light-skinned enough or I have the clothes to wear. We end up in this society that makes us all so damaged from being ashamed, but the psychological damage of that, we also have to address if we are going to win this battle to bring about a collective environment for our collective future.
All right, sure.
Well, we have about 50 seconds left. And just wanted to say, you know, next week we're going to move to another level. And we'll have everything posted this week. So all of our audience, please take a look at the topic this week. We thank all of you again for joining us, and we pray that you were able to get something out of what we have shared with you today. Any last words, guest, host?
Yes. I met some brothers by faith who are inside the belly of the beast in jail, and they have the technology to reach out to me so far and to other people in the community. And these are brothers who, even though they're captured, make their contributions. I hope and pray that one day I can bring them so they can make their contributions to a wider audience. Give thanks.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll repay. Bye-bye. So take care.
Thank you.
Okay. Shalom. Everybody have a great, great Easter, great Passover. Shalom.
Shalom. You as well, Elder. Be
blessed.